This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living at Empower Radio. A couple of days ago, the folks from New World Library sent to me some information on one of their authors, Jacob Israel Lieberman. I looked at the cover and said, oh yeah, I didn't even have to hesitate. I was so excited to receive this book and to devour the information. And as I was just sharing with my producer, Remy, and Dr. Lieberman, I haven't been able to get past the first three chapters because I keep going back and underlining things and sharing with my husband the power of this work and the words that I am seeing on this page, thanks to the light, which we'll cover in just a few moments. So I invite you to sit back and listen to something you may not have heard of previously, how light can work in your life as medicine, and specifically Dr. Lieberman's book, Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And with that said, welcome to Soulful Living, Dr. Lieberman.
It's a wonderful way to start my day with you.
Yes, because you are in Hawaii enjoying the light of the sun and the warmth.
Well, it's still early here, so we don't have a lot of warmth yet. I live up at 3,000 feet, but it'll get warmer and gorgeous, and it's beautiful just looking out the window.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining me. And let's just jump right in. Let's give the listeners a little bit of your background and how in your career you experienced a sudden shift and improvement in your own vision because of an experience with light and meditation.
Yeah. First of all, my professional background is that I was trained as an optometrist, and I have a second doctorate as a vision scientist. I began doing that in the very early 1970s. Initially in 1971, I had a rather profound experience because I was a kid that had reading problems their entire life, and schoolwork was always difficult for me, and I was having really a tough time with my medical training, and so I was given some simple vision training exercises. I did them one day for just 5 minutes, and then I read for an hour nonstop with the most acute attention and comprehension I think I had ever remembered up to that point. The experience was so profound, I started crying, because I thought there was something wrong with me, and this literally triggered a light to go on in my head. And I did these little exercises 10 minutes a day for about 2 months, and then I made the dean's list every single quarter until I graduated for the next 2 years. That was a real life changer, and when I began practice, I started looking at how I could help children with these kinds of issues. And I started looking at, why is everybody wearing glasses? Why is the biggest health epidemic eyesight deterioration? And is there anything we can do about that? And in fact, my first published, peer-reviewed published study in the mid-70s was about how to prevent vision problems and enhance visual performance, since everything we do is guided by our eyes. But in terms of your question, in late 1975, I started experimenting with myself to see what would happen if I reduced the amount of time I had my glasses on, because I'd been wearing glasses at that time for about almost 9 years. And I couldn't see without them, and I needed them for driving and everything else. In fact, without my glasses on, I could just see the big E on the eye chart. So I started taking my glasses off when I didn't really need to wear them, like in my house. And then I started wearing weaker prescriptions and so on, and doing vision exercises. And all these things helped to a certain degree. But then one day, I had a profound experience. I had been meditating for years, and I went into my daily meditation. This was on a Sunday. I took my glasses off. I closed my eyes, and I sat quietly. Somewhere in the midst of my experience, it was almost as though I disappeared. I don't know how to describe it to you, but there was just a sense of total clarity. Even though my eyes were closed, I could see myself in the room meditating. I couldn't determine where the seeing was happening from. You know how sometimes you look at something and you know you're looking and the thing is opposite you? But in this particular experience, it almost felt like the eyes were everywhere, like the seeing was happening everywhere. And when I came out of this meditative experience, my eyesight was clear. I mean, it was really crystal clear. And that was incredibly shocking. I thought it was just a momentary thing, but then it just stayed. And so I got in my car and I drove to my office and I sat in my examination chair and I started changing all the eye charts 20 feet away. And by God, I could read 300% better than I normally could. And I said, oh my God, what's happened here? So I decided to examine myself to see what had happened to my prescription, even though this was supposed to be impossible. When I did that, and I checked the prescription in the device, I realized that even though my eyesight had improved by 300%, my eyes hadn't changed at all. The prescription was exactly the same. And I realized over time, the only way that could have occurred is if the seeing mechanism is much more than just our eyes, that there is something else that is involved or maybe at the heart of how it is that we experience this world. Now, if an experience like that would have happened for just a few minutes, you would have said, oh my God, that was a miracle. But that has now persisted for 42 years. I'm 70 years old right now. I've never had a pair of glasses on my face for distance or for reading since that day in 1976. And so the takeaway is really powerful. It led me to realize that one, really profound change can happen without doing anything, without thinking, without working on things, without doing anything. And not only can it happen instantaneously, but it can also remain. It can persist, perhaps forever. Many years later, when I really started examining this, I realized that all of our training is actually in opposition to the way the body actually works. There isn't any part of our physiology that's designed to initiate action. In other words, to work at things. The body is designed to function effortlessly. And yet we spend our whole life doing, thinking ahead, trying to make things happen. So this experience was profound on many levels. Perhaps most importantly, it led me to realize that we could live life effortlessly. And that started me on an entire journey of looking at many other ways of helping my patients. Because when I started seeing in this new way, I started noticing things that I had never seen before. One of the things that I started noticing is what people sometimes refer to as the aura, the biofield that is surrounding the body. People speak about seeing auras when they look at others and so on. Well, it was interesting for me for a period of time. I was not only noticing auras around the heads of my patients, but I was noticing it around stones and around trees and around mountains and other kinds of things. And I started experimenting with this. And so when a patient would come to see me, and they were sitting in my exam chair, I would notice this subtle energetic emanation or fingerprint, if you will, that was continually changing, and it was very obvious around their head. And so I started asking them questions to see how would thinking impact this function. And what I noticed is every time they started to think, this light around their head totally disappeared. If they started thinking about traumatic events, it changed very dramatically. And it was interesting because I remember that spiritual individuals throughout history have been pictured with halos around their head. And I wondered, wow, these people seemingly were illumined or enlightened. They gave off light. Well, I could see the same thing with my patients. But what was intriguing to me is that working on things and thinking about things literally made it go away. It diminished the light. And that's when I realized that, you know, we have been indoctrinated to spend all day thinking ahead, trying to figure things out. Right. If you speak to most people, they'll tell you that they have an internal rehearsal going on inside all the time. What do I have to do to make sure that I make the best appearance, that this comes out perfect? I mean, I'm a public speaker. I've had the pleasure of addressing more than 2,000 audiences. When I'm at conferences and other physicians or scientists are speaking, they're freaked out because they've spent so much time preparing for this show that they're about to do, and they don't get relaxed until it's finished.
Right.
Me on the opposite, I don't prepare anything.
Wow.
And I used to prepare everything.
Yeah.
But I haven't prepared a thing since 1977. And so it's just an experience of excitement. It's an experience of freedom, if you will. Mm-hmm. So this new book, Luminous Life, is about all the discoveries that I have made. Not new ideas, but discoveries about fundamental truths about life, unchanging truths, very fundamental ones that can allow us to have a life that is with greater contentment, with greater fullness, perhaps with less stress and greater ease. And of course, I'm a work in progress, just like all of us. We're all yearning for greater health and greater happiness, but few of us actually have that experience. You know, there's so much chronic illness going on, and there's so much mental anguish going on, especially in this world where we are bombarded by weapons of mass distraction continually. You know, from cell phones to God knows what.
I love that terminology, by the way, mass distraction.
Yeah, and there's no time to breathe, to look into each other's eyes, to sit and share a meal. So this
book, even enjoy the wind.
Exactly. And so this book is really about illuminating a path, a very, very simple path toward coming into perhaps getting in touch with our maximum potential as human beings.
One of the quotes that I underlined was, when we allow the light within us to merge with the light that guides us, we experience oneness. And when I read that, I felt like you're experiencing oneness with all that is.
Exactly. And you see, when we talk about light, your listeners might think, oh, that's a nice spiritual analogy, or that's a little woo-woo, but I'm talking hard science right now.
Right.
I'm talking
Read the
about,
book, you guys. You'll see.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking about the fact that, you know, right now we're in a light age. They're powering cars with light. They're powering buildings with light. most of our technology is going back to what it was thousands of years ago, where we recognize that everything on this planet runs on light. And now we're taking advantage of it again because we've awoken to this. Well, we are part of everything on this planet. Every physiological function is light dependent. And because light is continually changing, the energy coming off the sun is cueing every cell of our body continually. What time of the day is it? What time of the night is it? Am I in Maui? Am I in New York? Am I in London? Because depending on where we are, our body is going to respond differently. If we're in Maui, we're going to wake up at one moment when the people in London would be going to sleep. Well, your body needs to know the difference between day and night. All of that is occurring because of these changes in light. All of your hormones and when they release the hormones they create, all of these glands and so on, are all being innervated by light. So we need to gain an understanding about what light is. And when we think about light, we think, oh, there's this physical light, which we call energy from the sun, and then there's this spiritual light. No, they're all exactly the same. The Bible refers to God, the source of creation, as light, and then describes this God or light as something that's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time. If you read spiritual texts, they all refer to consciousness as light. If you speak to physicists and you say, what is the ground of reality? What's the underlying energy beneath everything else? Oh, that's the energy of light. And if you ask them to speak about light, they'll use different words, but they'll tell you that light behaves as if it is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time. So whether you're speaking about light from a religious perspective, from a spiritual perspective, or a scientific perspective, they all converge to the exact same point. The energy of light is the underlying energy from which all life emerges. And once we realize that, light takes on a whole different perspective, and getting out in the sun is no longer something we should be frightened of, but something we should be partaking in on a continual level, because it is life-giving and health-giving as well. And so that's what my life's work has really been about. And not only allowing people to learn a little bit about just the benefits of being out in the sun, which are just the same as a plant, but how we can use color as a therapeutic tool to desensitize from these emotional triggers that continually catalyze stress in our life. So it's an exciting journey, and I'm glad that I could share a little bit of this with you today.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, about color and light, and how we can use various colors in our own lives to enhance that through light. Would that be through light therapy?
Yeah, light therapy, or what's called color therapy, which is done on the body or through the eyes or sometimes through visualization. In the book, I allow the reader to actually experience the power of this, but I'll try to summarize it. You know, people try to say, oh, this color means this, this color means that. I never found that to actually be valid. What I have discovered, however, is this. Each of us respond to colors in unique ways. A color you may like may be a color that someone else dislikes. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered about 40 years ago is that the colors that we're at ease with are vibrationally related to the experiences in life that we feel comfortable with. While the colors that we are uncomfortable with, they are vibrationally related to aspects of life we're yet not able to embrace, the things we recoil from, the people in situations that we say, ugh, I don't want any of that. And so what I discovered years ago is that you can utilize colors of light that someone may not be fully comfortable with. And if you just apply them very slowly and gently, people can gradually become comfortable with the colors that used to feel uncomfortable. And And when that happens, they become comfortable with the experiences in life that they used to be uncomfortable with. So their whole life becomes more balanced.
And when you say apply them, do you mean introducing them maybe at a low level or a low hue or with some type of softness so that they can gradually become comfortable with the colors?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly how I do it because I've created a little kit that people can use at home to do this. And it has 13 very simple pairs of glasses. And what I do is I have somebody put on a pair of glasses and just take a breath and notice whether it's easy to breathe or difficult to breathe, because it'll tell you immediately whether this is comfortable or uncomfortable. And I have them use these glasses in a very specific way that I've developed so that they use all the glasses of the spectrum. And what happens is, rather than doing it for a period of time, I allow each person to regulate the amount of time or the number of breaths that's perfect for them. And so each person regulates their own process rather than working according to somebody's idea. And in so doing, they can wear them a little bit longer as they feel more at ease. And it really has a profound effect, not only on our emotional state, but on our physical state and health in general.
And is this kit something that they can purchase, or is it something that they need to use in a therapist's office?
No, this is designed at home. It's not a medical tool. It's not to treat disease. It's just to basically allow us to expand our receptivity to the full spectrum of light so that we can then expand our receptivity to the full spectrum of life. The kit is called the Spectral Receptivity System 3, or short, it's the SRS3. And people can find out about it just by going to my website. And it's not an expensive thing. It is designed so that people can have this profound experience at home rather than having to pay thousands of dollars to get it.
Wonderful. We've got just about 3 minutes left, and I want to kind of rewind a little bit to where we were talking about mass distraction. And to me, much of that mass distraction has to do with modern technology. I'd like to hear your insight on that.
It's really very, very simple. There is nothing more essential than human contact. Mm-hmm. Another word for that is love. So ooh. I always say love is the answer regardless the question. When you spend time with someone, it's usually because you have a caring for them. That caring is profoundly contagious. That caring is profoundly supportive to our health and our wellness. Just looking into each other's eyes. In this world today, we've eliminated so much of that direct experience, and we're trying to basically do it via text messaging, via phone message, via email, all these kinds of things. And so what happens is you go to a restaurant and everyone's looking at their iPhone. Mm-hmm. You walk down the street, everyone's looking at their iPhone. You go to New York City, everyone has earbuds in their ears so they don't hear any sounds of the world. They're looking at this tiny little screen. Our vision is designed for a big view so that we see life as a whole. When we spend our life looking at a tiny little screen of our cell phones or our tablets or our computers, we no longer begin seeing life as a whole. we start seeing life through a hole. We diminish our field of vision. This is why so many people's eyesight is going, because it deteriorates this way. And what happens is we see less, we perceive less, we experience less, we become less efficient, we become less social, we literally begin to shrink. And so technology is a gift, and we have to realize that we are the greater gift. We have to use technology as a tool rather than technology making us its tool.
Oh my goodness, I love that. Usually I would ask my guests to leave the listeners with a thought. I think you just did that instead of being the tool of technology, right? Oh, and walk in love. Really, that's what we are, beings of light and love, right?
You know, it's very simple. Help each other.
Yeah.
When someone brings you a cup of coffee at the restaurant, take the time to really thank them, not just leaving them a tip, but someone's caring for you. If you see an elderly person and they need some help, give it to them. This is an opportunity to plant seeds of goodness in a world where there's so many things going on that we think are horrific. We have an opportunity to balance that scale by planting a little seed of goodness wherever we go. I hope this has been the seed of goodness that we can plant today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with me today. Listeners, the conversation has been with Dr. Jacob Lieberman. You can find all of his information here at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. His latest book, Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. I would add to that the art of loving. Find it. Get it. Do what I'm doing, you know, break it down and see how you can incorporate it into your life. Thank you so much, Dr. Lieberman. Thank you.
Pleasure is mutual.